creating a sustainability savvy board. From both a business risk and opportunity perspective, boards have to ensure that they fully engage with the impact of sustainability. Board members and senior leaders are challenged to take bolder and more transformative action. And yet, a recent study revealed that while nearly 75% of European board directors believe that ignoring sustainability will affect their organization's ability to create long-term value, only 30% believe that everyone on the board has a good understanding of sustainability and its place in strategy, and just over half state that the board sees a solid business case in sustainability. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm delighted to talk with Trista Bridges, founder of Read the Air, about creating a sustainability-savvy board in this episode. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We provide clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Trista, thank you so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Very happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me join.
Fantastic to have you. So let's jump straight in. In our board evaluations, we can see that boards are aware that at present their know-how does not really live up to the importance of sustainability issues. If we think about it, it's not really surprising, as the issue didn't play a role as recently as 10 years ago, 5 years ago. What has changed? Why does it matter now?
To be honest, many, many things have changed over the last 5 years, and especially the last 10 years. So a few things that we've seen are, firstly, we have a model of business which developed in a certain period of time and really helped to lift many, particularly Western democracies and democracies out of the world, around the world, into prosperity. And what happened over the last 10 to 15 years, especially since the financial crisis, is that we saw inequalities developing. We saw many changes in terms of the ability of this model to create wealth like it used to. I would say create broad wealth. So what happened was this really put a lot of strain on the system. It really pushed a movement amongst people that actually the model that we have in place doesn't work. And I don't know if I would say 100% that that's actually the case, but that's absolutely the perception around the world. And at the same time, the role of government changed pretty significantly in what it was expected to do of its citizens. Many people adopted this idea that, well, government is actually inefficient, it's not helpful, it's not actually moving things forward as it should. So what happened was business was really asked to step up in a way that it hadn't been in the past. You could argue that our social contract that had been in place previously, especially places like Europe, where, you know, companies were expected to employ people and pay their taxes and employ them for life almost, really was shaken up pretty profoundly in the last 10 to 15 years. So people actually turned to business. They said, well, you need to be more responsible. In addition, at the same time, perhaps because of many of these crises and issues that were happening in society, younger people, millennials and others that were coming up at this time, said, we don't really understand why companies can't make money and also do better for society as well. So there were some pretty big shifts there. And then as a result of all this, we saw investors that started to say, you know what, investing in companies or taking positions in companies that are not focusing on these things, it's risky for us to do that. And maybe we need to think about things like climate, social issues like diversity, equity, inclusion, better governance. And if we don't actually focus on these things, we're putting our investment at risk. So we started to see a big change amongst various stakeholders and parts of the system. And then finally, I'll say, as a result of all this, governments started to spring to action. And they said, well, you know what? We need to take some actions from a regulatory perspective. And we need to hold companies perhaps to more account than we have in the past.
You know, when I speak then with chairs of listed organizations and board members, I very often hear, okay, everyone agrees that sustainability, ESG issues are really, really important. But at the end of the day, the city is in love with the numbers. How can boards find the right balance between sustainability and delivering to the city, to the fund managers, what they want to see?
I think that, you know, this is obviously a really tricky question for everyone, right? You know, what is the real value of sustainability and ESG to companies? I think we need to kind of first narrow down. When we talk about sustainability, it's a broad topic. When we talk about ESG, it's a broad topic. And we need to really narrow down what we mean by these things. I think to kind of start off, at a minimum, companies need to identify what we call materiality. So what are the things that are most material for the company? And this basically means, what are the things that, from the company's perspective and also from their stakeholders' perspective, can almost put the company at risk if they don't focus on it? And this really is very dependent on the industry that you're in, the sector you're in, the country you're in. So for example, if you're in the food industry, if there's growing concerns amongst consumers and governments around the healthiness of food or things like plastic waste, you absolutely have to have an answer on that. You have to have a solution to that problem. You have to look at your product portfolio and say, how should we or could we retool this to respond to these issues? Because what's going to happen eventually is you may have customers or consumers that decide not to carry your products or to purchase your products. So that's a real risk. If you're, for example, in a country like Japan, where board director independence is actually a new concept, but Japan is also at the time trying to, Japanese companies in particular, to attract foreign capital and foreign investors, and you don't have proper board governance, you're not going to attract that capital from foreign investors. So that actually really puts at risk the liquidity in some ways of your company. And you need to make some hard decisions in that instance about who's on your board. How should you reform your board? How should it look? Is your governance basically up to par with the industry standard? And you need to really make some adjustments there. And then finally, the tech sector, we've seen the tech sector as another example, which has dealt with a lot of issues in the recent years around data privacy, user rights, disruption of whole industries or sectors, and its impact really on our world in many ways. And what's happening is we're starting to see pushback, right? So, you know, obviously investors have made a lot of money out of these companies, right? You know, they've done quite well in over a certain period of time, but now we're starting to see it fraying a little at the seams. So we've seen, for example, Meta, previously Facebook, has had some issues recently with their share prices, everybody knows, and is really dealing with a lot of challenges around this. So if you're not thinking about these issues, if you don't have things in place to address these issues, they can really directly affect your financial performance and how the market actually sees you as well. Those are the main points that I would kind of stress around that.
And then you mentioned it in your answer, but you know, what can boards do to get this sustainability know-how they need into the boardroom? Because there is the awareness, it's important. But when we look at the composition of boards at present, a lot of these people definitely don't belong to the group of the millennials. When these people started their careers, it was not an issue. It is now an issue. They care because, hey, you mentioned stakeholders. These people actually have children, they have grandchildren, and they really ask uncomfortable questions at Sunday lunchtime. Yeah.
Yes.
So, what can boards really do to get this know-how into the boardroom? What's your view?
I think that, you know, first of all, I will say I am not a millennial myself. I am a Gen Xer, and I am definitely in a generation of people who started off working in a very different paradigm. Started working in the 90s, and at that time, these topics were not pertinent issues at all. Yep. I think the first thing I would say is that it's really important for the boards to understand what investors are saying, the financial community is saying. So I'll just give you kind of two quick stats. So there was a recent Ernst & Young survey that came out, and roughly 90% of investors said that that since the COVID-19 pandemic, which has really been an accelerant of many trends, they attach greater importance to corporate's ESG performance when it comes to their investment strategy and decision-making. And then something like 86% of investors surveyed said that corporates having strong ESG programs and performance would have a significant and direct impact on the analyst recommendation of the company. So I think this is really important to stress that this is not something that's a nice to have. It's something that absolutely companies need to have a strategy on. Now, in terms of what boards can do specifically, what are specific actions that they can take? I think the first one is really understanding where is the board on this topic? And what by that I mean, all the people who are on the board, all the directors, where are they personally on this topic? So generally, what is your level of understanding of sustainability as a board? What is sustainability versus ESG? How do you see these things differently at all? Are you aligned on the importance of this issue? You've said that it's important. Are they really aligned around the importance of it and the importance of the organization focusing on it? Are they clear on the business case for sustainability, particularly in their industry? And what about the risks? So there's a lot around the whole climate space and climate risk space, disclosures that are coming for companies around this. That's a really key risk that people are starting to look at and they're starting to price into share prices. There's some real risks in action, if you will. And then also, what about your sector? You know, what are the topics that are most material for you? What are your competitors doing? That's something as well that I think they don't really have so much of a view on. That's the first thing I would say. Where are you as a board? Really kind of take a temperature check, I guess you could say, and ask yourself some mm-hmm. hard questions. Secondly, board training. So this is another yep. topic. I sat through a board training. So I'm on a board of an organization here in Tokyo. I sat on the board training twice and very good board training. And he's actually worked in over time to ESG elements because initially these were not really a part of that board training. There needs to be ESG training in board training. It's imperative because it really, like I said, the investors are going to look to the board to have a responsibility. It will be a part of their fiduciary duty as board members to think about these topics. So you want to make sure that it's there. And then another immediate action, as I said, I would say is make someone responsible for this. So I've seen some companies kind of designate somebody on the board whose responsibility is to kind of keep a view on what's going on out there. And I mean, out there in the industry, in the world, in the sector, globally around these topics, what's best practice they see. Maybe educating the others on the board about this, reaching out to experts to help you for things you don't know. I think that's a really important topic thing to express as well. It's important to also have some responsibility around it. And usually there's one person or a couple of people on the board who are really predisposed to this topic.
That brings us actually nicely to the next point. Now, sometimes I discuss with boards and also the executives on the board, what is actually the board's role in putting sustainability at the heart of strategy? What should the board do and what should the execs do? Do you have a view on this?
One thing that's really important to say is that organizations that successfully integrate sustainability strategy and take action on ESG are those that basically fully support this. So the support has to start at the top. Right? There has to be a mandate that this is a priority for the company. It can come from the bottom up, and some companies do this, and we've seen this in the past. But if the board doesn't say, okay, this is the direction that we want this organization to go, and make sure that the CEO is clear on that, you know, it's basically not going to happen. Okay. And I think that also they need to really kind of hold the CEO accountable for this. So the board can absolutely make the CEO spend some time on strategy. How does sustainability sit within the strategy of the organization? Is it integrated? What actions is the CEO going to take? Tying the CEO's compensation to this as well. You know, this is something that's actually a new thing that we don't see so much. And there needs to be a lot more of that accountability to make sure that there's accountability around it. In terms of the CEO level and down, you know, the C-level and other managers in the organization, you know, they're the ones who are definitely working out how this happens. If we put in place a net zero target, how do we get there? And having a good plan to get there, resourcing it, allocating the resources of the company towards it. I always say, you know, as you may know, you know, I've worked for many years, especially my background is in marketing strategy and strategy. And you see the money that companies put into areas like marketing or sales yeah. or accounting, et cetera, finance, but they don't really put a sufficient funds into this. If you really are serious about something, you resource it, you compensate people based on it, you reward them, you penalize them if necessary, if they don't act on it as well. So those for me are really kind of the main things that I would say. And the last thing I would say is that the board also has a responsibility to be forward-looking, you know, to think yeah. about what is going to happen with this company in 5, 10, 15, 20 years' time. Is this still going to be here? What direction is it going in? And every trend is clear that this is a critical topic. So I understand that there's demands from quarter to quarter, but the board directors, if anyone has a responsibility to kind of look in a longer term, it's certainly the board and the CEO and the C-level executives in the company.
Fantastic. Now, you know, our listeners are always interested to hear what good looks like. What have you seen boards, executive committees do in organizations that are at the forefront and have managed to put sustainability at the heart of their strategy and at the same time achieve really good financial results?
Yes. So one of the organizations that I've actually spoken with in the past and highlighted and interviewed actually for my book that I wrote a few years back is an organization called DSM, which you may know, Dutch company. It used to be called the Dutch State Mining Company, and it was a mining company well over 100 years ago, but now it's a health, nutrition, and materials company. Mm-hmm. And the thing about them, which is really fascinating, is they have really anchored sustainability into their business model. And they develop sustainability-oriented solutions and products. They see it as, you could say, a real opportunity for their business as opposed to a cost, right? Immediately when people hear sustainability, they think cost, it costs me money. Yeah. But DSM really saw the opportunity in it. For example, one of the things that they did, which I found was a great example was, and I think it was in, I can't remember if it was in Rwanda, perhaps, they did a joint initiative to bring a vitamin-oriented products to that market. What they said was, well, you know, in emerging markets, many of these people in these markets are no longer really hungry, right? You know, so hunger isn't really an issue as it used to be, but nutrition is probably an issue. And these people, you know, as they basically get wealthier, or they're going to basically be customers for many, many products and services. And it's important for us to think about people in other parts of the world as customers, not as people who necessarily need something from us for free, or not as people that we're helping, but people who can help themselves, who need real products and solutions. And so they basically did a joint venture in that market to bring kind of a new product to this population. And I think that was a really good example of partnership, of working together, and about thinking about their customers in a different way. So they really have integrated into their product set. In addition, they also integrated this into their compensation. So for example, it's integrated into how their senior managers are compensated, and they have a supervisory board. And so at the target level, there's roughly a 50-50 split between financial goals and sustainability and individual goals. So they really have embedded this into how they motivate and compensate people. And they've also integrated this into their business model as well, which I think is a wonderful example. And one other company that I do want to mention as well is Kering, which everybody may know is a French fashion house. And one of the things that they've done, which I thought was really innovative that I saw, was they have this environmental profit and loss account. And basically what this is aiming to do is to really kind of quantify in some way their environmental impact, whether it be negative or it be positive. And they're really trying to drive this across the industry. So, for example, if you go on their website, they provide guidance for other organizations, their peers, their competitors, et cetera, to use a similar approach, right? Because we don't yet have standards in place to incorporate this into our financial statements in really in any way, yeah. Right? We have reporting, which you know, we talk about the water we use, our carbon footprint, whatever, but we don't really have anything that connects this to financial metrics. This is actually a change that's underway. So there's some initiatives called, broader initiatives called, for example, impact weighted accounting, which is coming out of HBR. And there's some really smart and bright people working on that framework, which may eventually make it to companies. But I thought this was a really great example of this in action. They also have a biodiversity strategy, which is really new. You hear a lot about carbon. You don't hear as much about biodiversity, but this is changing. And they also look to innovation as a way to kind of lower their overall impact. That's important to note as well. You know, there is a change of behavior that needs to happen with companies, but there's also innovation that needs to help drive change as well.
Fantastic results. Now we need to come to an end. What are the three issues our listeners should take away from this podcast?
I think the three that I would highlight, I mean, we talked about this in the beginning, is, you know, the board really needs to do a sense check of how important is this to them? Where are they at? What do they know? What do they not know? And how are they going to get savvy about this topic? Because it's a very important strategic issue now, ESG. It's not at all something, again, that's a nice to have. So I think they really need to do a temperature check on that measure. Yep. Secondly, we talked about the materiality topic. Start with what is material for your company. So there are some things that are absolutely material for everyone. So something like diversity, equity, inclusion, I would say is material for everyone, least not because we have labor issues and shortages everywhere. So it's important for people to think about where they're going to get their talent, right? This is an important issue for every company, their employees. But there's many others, you know, carbon as well. But then there are many that are very specific to particular industries. And I think it's important to understand what's going on with that particular issue. And is there not just risk, but is there also opportunity for you? And then the third, I would say, is really ensuring that the CEO has a strategy around this and not just targets, but how are they actually going to execute this? Is there accountability? Are resources being allocated and directed towards this? And that these targets and metrics and everything they have in place ties to the compensation of the CEO as well as the other C-level and hopefully other people in the organization as well.
Fantastic, Trista. Very insightful. Thank you so, so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me join.
How can we help you and your board? We at Better Boards are always delighted to hear from you. You can best reach us at info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.